Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue. Very nice to have you with us this morning. We are before a live audience, and it is thrilling to have them here and to have you hear them. So to just prove that they're actually here, they will now applaud. There you go. This is Leadership Tech Valley. It's an initiative of the Capital Region Chamber. It is an interactive program that provides skill development and community immersion experiences that enable participants to grow personally and professionally. They're growing personally and professionally before our eyes. And it's a lovely thing to see, and in most cases, it's decent. They have opportunities in the Capital Region. They're making the best of those opportunities, and we are part of their Working with the Media program. And give yourselves a big hand. It's very nice to have you here. Let me introduce the panel. We have a great panel before you. We have a lot to talk about, so let's get to it. We're going to be taking your letters this morning. Alan is all deviced up and ready to go, so we'll be taking your letters. We welcome your input, roundtable at W, and I'm talking to the people at home, not in this room, but although you can do it on your devices too. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we'll be getting to your comments in just a moment. Let me introduce the panel to you. Of course, WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, go.
Very nice to have you here. Yes, you can clap after that. It sounds good to the people at home. Then they know where you're coming from. University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo. Yeah. Corporate attorney from Phillips Lytle LLP, Rich Honan. Essayist, author, editor, and activist Barbara Smith is with us. Good morning. Our literary legend on the panel this morning, and we thank you all very much for being with us. Let's get to the show. Let's get to the topics at hand and what we're going to talk about this morning. There was a debate last night. It was the GOP debate. It was held in South Carolina, North Charleston. All the candidates were there. All the candidates were there except for Rand Paul, who bowed out. Who said, enough of you guys. I don't want to be on the undercard, so goodbye. And so it was lively. I think the most attention came from the Ted Cruz, Donald Trump going back and forth. Marco Rubio had a couple good shots. Jeb Bush had a shot or two. So who wants to jump in first on Alan, you want to start off?
Well, it did seem to me as if this were a Donald Trump television show. You know, back and forth, and we Americans have been so dumbed down by television that, you know, we like this stuff, and they start talking about when they were born and where they were born, and, it is really a very disappointing thing to see that this is what our politics have come to.
The question that came up, Ted Cruz was basically brought on the carpet for two issues. One, of course, was the Goldman Sachs loan. The other was the comments that he made regarding New York style politics and what that meant. And he had to defend that a bit. And Donald Trump took exception to that. What did you make of that, Rosemary?
Of the debate overall or of that specific?
Well, let's say that moment, and then you can go to the debate overall.
Well, you know, I actually think Donald Trump has been pretty brilliant about the whole birther thing. I've said before, I love the hypocrisy that Cruz, who was totally into it when it was Obama on the spot, is now. He's in actually a difficult situation. Is he a natural-born citizen under the definition? We don't really know, and it could end up in court, and the Democrats could bring it. And Trump was actually funny and completely honest, saying, no, I didn't care about it before. He's rising in the polls now, so yeah, I care. Of course he does, and I loved actually that honesty, although I hate Donald Trump. So I think that's pretty brilliant. I think Cruz is in trouble over the money thing, too. Not because we as Americans care about the niceties of election law. He totally violated the law. That's pretty clear. And now he's just saying it was a paperwork error. I don't think we care about that. But it's, again, the hypocrisy. I'm one of you. I'm struggling too. And he wasn't. He was getting a really nice deal on a $1 million loan from two different Wall Street players. Hillary's gotten into it. Look at what the hot water she's into because of seeming closeness with Wall Street. How come Ted Cruz doesn't get the same? So lots of hypocrisy. The debate overall was immensely depressing to me. There were errors and stupidity. I mean, Ted Cruz is saying he would have gone to Ted Cruz, who could get the nomination. He's a contender, would go to war because our mariners made a mistake, end up in Iranian water, and they did what they should, held them, and then let them go. But he would have gone to war over that, depressing as hell. Ben Carson, who I think is out now, which is good, totally had the name of a province wrong. He put all the Syrian refugees in, what did he call it? Not El Raqiq, which is what he thought, but El Sahid, which doesn't even exist. And it's an ISIS stronghold. So why the hell would you want to get out of Syria and then go stay in the ISIS stronghold? It just is completely nonsensical. And this is the best the Republican Party has to offer. Very frightening.
Oh, Rich.
Well, first, by the time I finally found the debate, did anybody actually watch it? I mean, did anybody find it on, at least in Time Warner Cable, it was channel 204?
Yeah, 209, actually, yeah. It was very hard to find. I had to Google it. How many people, just out of curiosity, how many people in this room watched the debate live last night? Like five hands up in a room of maybe 40 people.
Right. Okay. And smart people.
Yeah, smart people.
And I wouldn't have if I wasn't going to be on this morning. And I almost gave up when I couldn't find the damn thing between CNN and Fox News and everything else. I actually thought, Rosemary, that at least the debate was, you know, issue-driven a little bit. Yes, I know everybody counts how many shots, and everybody has their prepared shots. But that's kind of part of it. The thing about Trump, and, you know, I love him, is he's taken, I agree with you on the birther thing, which, you know, has no substance at all. But Trump has done a great job at taking a page out of the Obama book of just dropping some shiny object in front of the media. Yeah.
Okay. I'll ask for one or two examples.
Hey, Rich, I don't think you do agree with her. You know, I think if you were listening to her very carefully, she made it quite clear. She thought that that he was not a citizen. Cruz was not a citizen, although
I think there's a question about it. I don't know if he is or not, but I think that's...
Although the majority of legal scholars in this country, not a majority, the clear group say, of course he is. And Lawrence Tribe, no slouch himself from Harvard, makes it clear that he thinks there is a problem. But I think we should say that, you know, you don't agree with Rosemary.
No. I mean, if Ted Cruz wins or loses, it's not going to be based upon whether he's a U.S. or a Canadian
citizen. No, it might.
Yeah, we'll see. But my point is Trump just, and I do think that is the Obama playbook. You know, when, you know, if anybody sat through the State of the Union, or any of his speeches, you know, something's going wrong with ISIS, and he's like, hey, how about free community college? You know, and then we're all off on that. And I think Trump is
George Bush. Let's go to the moon. We're not busy with other things.
Well, Joe Biden's going to cure cancer in a year, right?
That was the latest thing, right? There's a possibility.
I want to know what Barbara thinks about this.
Well, this is not what gets me up in the morning, and even WAMC can't get me to watch a Republican debate. So,
it's homework, Barbara.
It has never happened, and it undoubtedly never will, but of course I did read, you know, articles, and I watched the news this morning. I don't really have much to say except for the disturbing fact that Donald Trump is now being taken very seriously. And one of the things that I think, if indeed he does ascend to the presidency, is I often talk about how, because of the fact that I was born before the civil rights movement and was born during the Jim Crow era, I explained to people that means that my social status in this country changed during my lifetime. And now, as an AARP member...
and Joe wasn't kidding, by the way. You are featured in the AARP.
Yes, I am. Yes, yeah. He wasn't just talking about my advanced age.
You and your sister are there.
We were interviewed for an article about the baby boomers who are turning 70 this year. We were in the first year of the baby boom. I'm a twin, so. But I digress. What I'm trying to say is that as a person in my age group who's African-American, whose social status changed during her lifetime, with him, it will change back. And that's the thing that really bothers me. I really feel that his dog whistles are not really dog whistles, that for those of us who really understand the dynamics of his rhetoric, it's extremely, extremely upsetting what he's putting out there. And it will or would be upsetting if the American population, the electorate, decides, yeah, this is the direction we want to go in.
And Rosemary?
Yeah, Barbara, I wanted to ask you specifically about one of my favorite lines last night. Donald Trump speaking in North Charleston. This, you will recall, is the place where the police officer shot the man,
Walter Scott, eight times
in the back. And Donald Trump pronounces police as the most mistreated group in America. We need vigilance.
Yeah, all righty then.
Yeah.
There are a lot of black and Latino family members, specifically mothers, who might beg to differ with that.
Yeah, got a big applause for that. And that's, I see stuff like that, and that's why these debates, maybe there have been too many debates, they're really depressing me.
Alan?
No, I just think Barbara has hit on something that is incredibly important in all of this, and that is that Donald Trump has risen to the top based in part, or in large part, on his anti-PC stance. And that is something that, whether we like it or not, a lot of Americans can relate to. But they're not you. You know, that's your whole point. And they are not somebody who is a lesbian or transgender or any of the people who now have a certain amount of rights. And we say, no, we don't say that anymore. It's not the right thing to do. But he is playing on the fact that you can't tell dirty jokes in the back room of the garage.
And those dirty jokes lead to policy and very, very serious consequences for actual real people. So it's, you know, the dirty jokes in the garage, I wish that was all of it.
Well, it's part of it, though.
Yeah, I wish that was all of it.
Yeah.
Well, why is it when you know, Bernie Sanders talks straight talk, it's, you know, he's just telling it like it is, and when Joe Biden
says... Because he's not talking about keeping Muslims out of the country.
Yeah, well, but Bernie Sanders has had his gaffes, Joe Biden has had his, Obama, on the few times when he speaks in an unscripted way, has plenty of gaffes.
Do you think these are gaffes?
No, actually. But when people say things that people disagree with, I think where Trump starts, and I'm not advocating, but he starts at a place that almost no other candidate starts, which is he's talking himself. He's not talking to his focus group. He's not talking to his political handlers. He's talking for himself.
That's like the best argument for the scripted speech you blame Obama for I've ever heard.
On the few times when Obama actually speaks for himself is when he makes the worst gaffes. I want to hear what somebody has to say. If it's stupid, fine. If it's not well put together, fine. I don't want to hear the 30 time edited speech that the candidate, you know, gives the same speech every time.
Yeah, God forbid that we should think carefully about what we want to say and the impression we want to make and the good we want to do. That's really bad.
Let's start with speaking for ourselves. I know we're setting the bar quite low, but I'm sorry, that's where we're starting. Let's start with speaking for ourselves.
So fair enough. And you did say already that you thought that Donald Trump, you really love the guy, right? You did say that, right?
I like a lot of what he says.
Yeah, okay.
I don't agree with everything he says.
And you want guys who will talk off the cuff and... You know, if they're really thinking ridiculous things, you want to hear they're really ridiculous things. So now I understand why you like Donald Trump so much.
Can I just say, there's a real difference between gaffes and ideological messages about hate. That's different. I feel like if someone, makes a statement that could have been better inflected so that the subtlety or the meaning of what they're saying comes out more clearly. You mentioned Biden, you mentioned Obama, and Bernie Sanders. I haven't ever heard Bernie Sanders say anything hateful. I really haven't. Yeah. Now, you tell me if I missed
Biden
something.
Biden neither. Biden says things that are sometimes
When Biden says you can't go into a 7-Eleven in Delaware that's not run by somebody of Indian descent.
Pakistani.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. now... I didn't not take true. That as hateful, but if Trump had said that, you guys would be all over it.
But I think, what was the next sentence? Was it saying that they're part of our community and they need to be respected? Was
yes.
that the next sentence?
And I don't see...
They're part of our community and they need to be respected. We see them all the time. They're providing a vital service by having stores that are open late and accessible. I mean, I can't believe that his next sentence would have been, and therefore we should get them out of the country.
Listen, I think, look, what Trump was pointing out, by the way, was the fact that this was after the vaunted vetting process that we were talking about, how, you know, refugees were going to be carefully vetted, had turned out to be, you know, sadly lacking to the point where they don't even check somebody's Facebook page, which I would think would kind of be one of the starting places.
That actually isn't true. The Facebook checking thing was on visas, which definitely does turn not to be checked out.
But not on
refugees. It definitely needs change. There's also been big problems that we've discovered in Germany. And, I mean, what's the big surprise here? That the ISIS is not going to use refugees? We knew that all along. I said it from the very first day we began talking about refugees. What is ridiculous is to think that we don't know how to vet, that we can't figure this out and do it right and let in the vast majority of people who really do need help.
Oh, I agree with you. That is ridiculous, and we should know how to do that. And I think what Trump was saying was, we don't yet know how to do that. Let's wait until we do.
The person in my ear is telling me that it's time to take a break, so we'll do that. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation. We'll get to some of your letters as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We are before a live audience for Leadership Tech Valley. We will return after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Albany Pro Musica, presenting High School Choral Festival, Sunday, January 24th at 7:30 p.m., and From Broadway to the Concert Hall, February 27th at 7:30 p.m. at the Troy Music Hall, albanypromusica.org. The ADK Market, Keene, New York. Country store featuring natural foods, local and specialty products, fresh baked goods, artisanal beer, and everyday groceries. ADKmarket.com. And Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making and design services from booklets to stationery, and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. AmherstCopy.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our roundtable panel this morning. We are live at, we've never told you where we were. We're at the Linda. We are at the Linda, wonderful performing arts venue on Central Avenue, and we are here.
And we are performing.
Yeah. Yes, we wind us up and we'll perform. We're before the Leadership Tech Valley. It's part of their Working with the Media program, and who wouldn't want to work with us? So we're making a good impression on all of our leadership friends, and of course with the chamber in Albany. We have a lot of letters. We'll get to those. And where do we begin, Alan?
Well, Brian says, I have never seen this roundtable so disrespectful to a guest before. We're talking about Rich. Joe, step in. Simply because the gentleman agrees with Trump on certain issues does not mean he should be disrespected.
Do you feel disrespected?
No, not at all. One thing that Rosemary and Barbara never do is speak they speak passionately and they point out when they think
as
I'm wrong.
You.
But
yeah.
I never feel.
Did you notice he left my name out?
But thank you. Well, that goes without
I'm
saying.
I'm keying your car later.
But thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Michael says, this is all a waste of good PR time. Sorry, Rich. None of these guys will be president. None of them are qualified, and the American public know that already. They may do deceptively well in the primaries, but the next president will be a Democrat. That's what she says. Colleen says, good morning, panel. I cannot stress enough how much I am enjoying this discussion and how vital it is to all your listeners to present the different points of view. Once again, thank you for a fantastic program. Thank you from Colleen. Okay.
Ooh, speaking of PR, that was nice.
Yeah, that was good.
And Barbara.
Print that one out.
Thank you, panel, for calling your Trump-loving colleague on this false equivalency. Yay, Barbara.
Would you vote for the guy?
Over Hillary? Yeah.
Okay. All right.
No, okay. I am keying your
I think
car.
The air just came out of the room, but that's all right. So let me ask you this question. So right now, as I'm assuming, I'm taking a big assumption now,
okay.
I'm assuming I know you're an independent,
yes.
But I assume you will you vote in the Republican primary, or you can't vote in the Republican primary?
Well, I'm independent. So you can.
Okay.
Are you asking me who I would vote
yes.
for?
And I ask that because Rosemary has said who she would vote for, Barbara has said who she will vote for, Alan has said who he will vote for.
Oh, no, I never said who I was voting
for. Oh,
you
know?
Never.
Oh,
nobody knows that. Not here.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right.
I broke every rule of journalism by saying I would vote for Bernie.
All right. I thought, okay, whatever. Okay.
We'll discuss it later. We can discuss it
All right,
it later.
That's fine. But you like Hillary. Okay.
she nodded out
so,
there.
So rich.
That was good radio
okay,
right there.
So out of the 12, who do you like?
I like Kasich.
Okay. All right. Well, that tells us a lot.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
My
hearing
aids
also tells me you
working.
Can't beat me up for saying that.
Oh, Kasich. Yeah, well, Kasich is not going to be the candidate.
But I would have no problem voting for Trump in the general election. But I actually agree with the – I will say I agree with the listener who said, look, it's going to be a Democrat. I think electorally – I don't understand how this country ever again elects a Republican president.
They'll do it the same way they did it the last time. They'll steal it.
And Joe, since it's come up, I don't want to leave it unanswered. I'm for Bernie.
Really?
Yeah. Really.
That surprises
Let's
you?
Move on.
Okay.
Well, John Kasich has Bernie.
I actually am surprised by that, but I...
So am I. Disappointed.
Only because I... Oh, you don't...
I am disappointed. I don't understand what it is. No, I'm not going to key her car.
Which, by the way, was a reference we made during the break. I apologize for those who didn't
John
know,
anyway. Kasich summed it up with Bernie. I think he's great. I think his ideas are wonderful. I agree with everything he says. I like his grouchy personality. I even like the imitations of him that Saturday Night Live does. But Kasich was right. He said last night, great, make him the Democratic candidate. We're going to win every state. It'll be a Republican victory. That's how the Democrats would give away the next election.
But we were not talking about the strategy of a Democratic
right.
win.
That's true.
We were talking about who each of us individually supported. So I fully understand that whole issue about electability. I've actually been elected twice, and I'm not quoting Obama when I say that. I was actually elected twice myself to a much lower office, the Common Council in Albany, but no less, a struggle, as all elections are. But as I said, I'm not talking about the strategy of a Democratic right. win and what's needed for a Democratic win. I'm talking about who I actually support. So there you have it.
Well, as a journalist, I sort of love the idea of a Trump presidency. I mean, my God, we would just be, every day would be like, let's go out and cover this.
Well, as a journalist, don't you think that's a little selfish?
Probably.
In other words, you'll have a lot to write about, but in the meantime, we'll have to live there.
As an American, I want to move to Bosnia at the idea of him being president.
Here's your 30-second warning, by
the way.
It'll be fine. Relax.
Alan, I have a question for you.
No,
please,
you don't have time.
Please.
Okay.
We don't have time.
Okay, we don't have time. Good. We only have 15 seconds, but you can ask your question right after the break.
Okay.
We're going to have a news break. We're going to come back, and we'll continue our conversation. We are here live at the Linda before a live audience. We couldn't be more thrilled. We welcome your comments from home, WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We are before Leadership Tech Valley, which is an initiative of the Capital Region Chamber of Commerce. We are part of their Working with the Media program, and we couldn't be more thrilled to have this group before us this morning, and we have a great panel as well. Rosemary Armeo is here, Rich Honan, Alan Chartok, and Barbara Smith. I'm Joe Donahue, and of course, we welcome your thoughts from home, roundtable at WAMC.org. The folks in this room have been instructed if they would like to just text us or write to us at roundtable at WAMC.org. We'd love to hear from your questions as well.
Joe, can I just say the most important thing that we haven't talked about yet, and then I'll shut up, is that we have a challenge from the Spitzer Foundation. They'll give us $25,000 if we can get $500,000, which is half the fund drive, before the first day. We have an amazing amount of money, and in that, Joe, is $370,991.77. You really wonder where the 77 cents came from.
Well, it was 20 this morning, so somebody did.
I didn't give 50 cents.
You didn't? You sure? Okay.
No, I thought it was you. 50 cents. No.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That is really good.
Yep.
So that's 3.7. You know, at the beginning of the week, I think we were at like 3.10 or something like that.
Right. So we, in order, but it's like the spigot in the sink. You know,
yeah.
The water goes down very slowly at first, but in the end, it goes whoosh.
When you pull up the stopper.
No, the stopper's already up. You understand what I'm talking about?
No. I'm right? saying, but you have the still water. When you pull up the thing, that's when the thing starts to go, right?
No. What happens?
All right.
What happens is you pull it up, and all you see when the sink is filled up is a tiny little thing going around, right?
Well, that's what I see. Yeah.
But then when it gets down to the end, it goes whoosh.
Whoosh.
Yeah.
So we're waiting for that. So right now we're at the kind of the circling around the gentle verbal raise.
We have a week really here. 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's right.
That's really a tough analogy to make in a verbal medium, I will say.
Welcome to the plumbing hour.
That's a tough analogy to make on the radio.
What'd you say, Rosemary?
Welcome to the plumbing hour.
Yes. Well, look, it's very important.
Rosemary, easy for you to say. Yeah.
And by the way, because we're public radio, $100 in the lockbox, you get a tote bag. So I just want to say that.
Look at this tote bag.
It's
just
beautiful.
Look at it.
Isn't it beautiful? Is it gorgeous? It's big and white, and it says WAMC Northeast Public Radio, and then the other side there's a picture of the actual lockbox, which really does exist, and it's lovely. So just keep that in mind. That's for $100, or you know, just whatever. Do whatever you can to help the lockbox. WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and as Alan mentioned, $25,000 riding on this to get to $500,000. Halfway through the fund drive before February 1st, which is when we will begin. Really? Yeah. February 1st at 6 a.m. So that's when we'll start. All right. Let's get back to business here.
Didn't Rich have a question?
I had a question for Alan, actually. Alan, you know, I've seen some of the things that Joe Biden has been saying. About Bernie Sanders. And my question to you is, and it's truly a question, do you think Team Obama is really supportive of Hillary?
Oh yeah,
you think?
Yeah, no, I do. I think they want Hillary. When he said when the president said the other day he would not support anybody who wasn't fully for his gun control program, I think he was talking about Bernie because, as you know, Bernie comes from Vermont, and Vermont loves their guns. Vermonters love their guns, and I think it was a shot, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
All right.
I have nothing to add. I agree with that one.
Okay, good. Yeah. Excellent. Let's go to just a few more letters, and then we'll move on to other subjects.
Okay, Rosemary, I think the polls don't agree. Bernie would clobber Trump or anyone else at the kids' table. Even a dedicated suppression effort by his own party can't seem to stop him. Really, why would we want to run a Republican light child of privilege whose very mention alienates half the country? People said Obama was too liberal to elect, too. All right. And then Emily says, hello to the panel. If Ray Graff were here, he'd say hello. Sometimes I've thought a lot about, I believe that many of the Republican candidates are unfairly dismissed due to their views on social issues. Would any of you agree that their views on these issues shape near completely your opinions of them, said Emily.
Huh? Is that your daughter?
Emily, was that you who set that in? Thank you.
I don't think immigration
is
a social matter.
I didn't want
matter.
To break out the fact that my daughter is here until the panel until really started yelling at me. But
and she's tough.
I'm not going to use it.
Yeah.
I mean, their social views are abhorrent and really irrelevant to what's happening in this country. But I don't think immigration is a social matter. Gun control is not a social matter.
No, but she's talking, you know, abortion and
yeah, those are all horrible. They don't help me to like them. But that's not. I would hate them anyway.
And I actually agree with that. I agree with you. And I think that as a conservative, okay. And when I'm talking conservative, remember, I've said this before.
Right.
So Barry Goldwater, who was one, you know, early conservative. When asked, what's your view on abortion? He said, it's not the role of the federal government. If you're really calling yourself a true conservative, you're talking about a small government and the government not intruding into people's lives with social issues.
Right.
And which I thought was, you know, is a courageous thing to say. And that is that's the hardest part. If you think of yourself as a social conservative or a political conservative, is to you know, this constant, them bringing in the religious issues, bringing in the social issues, bringing in the choice, you know, that things like that, that I don't think should be part of the federal government.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's very inconsistent with, you know, if Ted Cruz says, I'm the Tea Party, you know, small government, right wing, I say, fine. And then he starts talking about religion, and then he loses me. If he loses me, all right, what do you think? That's where he loses, you know, the other 99%
of
America.
End of life issues, abortion, contraception, gay marriage, those really are not federal issues. That's
right.
Absolutely true. I agree with
you. Yeah, and so I'm at that point, even before you start getting into, you know, I agree that many of them, I believe, are on the wrong side of those social issues. I don't think if you're going to call yourself a conservative, you shouldn't be talking about that. You're just taking an inconsistent position.
Of course, elections are also a state matter, and so the Supreme Court got wrongly involved in that, and, you know, just eliminate that, we have a whole different history.
Did you want in on this?
Yeah, I just wanted to remind people that Barry Goldwater also opposed the Civil Rights Act. So, but the thing is, civil rights and racial relationships in the United States, that's not a social issue, that's
a
political issue embedded in the foundation of this nation. So I don't want to, you know, confuse those matters. But I just want people to know he wasn't good across the board around those who are marginalized.
Rosemary got a vote from Peter, who writes, I'd love for Bernie Sanders to be president, but I pray he's not the candidate. People that don't even know what socialism is still think it's terrible. It was part of the name of the Soviet Union. Peter in New Paltz.
Right. Even in the debate last night, they mentioned Bernie, and they go, oh, he describes himself as a socialist or a communist. That leap is enormous, and yet it was made so easily, and I think our voters would do that. He would be a liability.
Well, I agree with those who say, you know, Sanders would become the second socialist president in history. You know, right after Obama.
Sanders comes out
and says, this is what I think. I disagree with it, but again, that's what at least he says it.
So just for clarification, please, there are elements of our U.S. democracy that are absolutely part and parcel of a socialist agenda. Social Security would be one. Other
libraries,
aspects.
Public schools.
Public schools, libraries, aspects of the social safety net. So the thing is, we've had those kinds of initiatives ever since the age of the robber barons, because people began to realize we can't really succeed as a nation if we have huge numbers of people who are mired in poverty and who can't contribute to our ongoing democratic project. So there are aspects of our democracy that are indeed inflected in that way.
Barbara, will the people who are most disenfranchised vote?
That's a big question because, of course, people were highly motivated around President Obama's first campaign in particular. I think that the numbers were similar or perhaps even better when you look at by demographic groups during his second campaign. But I hear, you know, people talking about how do we motivate people to come out, that is the Obama electorate to come out for a candidate who doesn't build their hopes and their excitement in the way that he did. His was a historic campaign and an historic election. The election of Hillary Clinton would be the same.
Let's get to a few more letters, then we're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll do a bonus round of a lightning round, if you will, of get to issues to bring up the last part of the program.
Andy writes a letter. Can you speak to the role of the Electoral College? Might the good people of the Electoral College take a broader world perspective of the role of the U.S. president plays and overrule a popular vote for Trump? Can the world afford the vitriol of a Trump presidency? On the main question, as they say in Congress, the answer is absolutely not. And I don't know that these are good people who are in the Electoral College. Usually these are people who are appointed by the political party. But we do know that the Republicans in this country are scared to death of a Trump presidency because it will destroy the fabric, they think, of the Republican Party as we know it. So there'll be people who are appointed to, no, the answer is no. There will not be a revolution on the Electoral College ever.
I just wanted to respond to Emily's question, which is what started this line of conversation, which is the issue around, is it only the social issues that make you not look at Republican candidates favorably. Donald Trump in foreign policy and interacting with world leaders, that's a nightmare of huge proportions as far as I'm concerned. So, no, it's not just the social issues. And I do think he is actually, he has liberal aspects. He is a New Yorker.
Trump. I wrote a column about Trump this weekend, and people were furious that I said he was the quintessential New Yorker. People like that kind of bravado. We've named the carousel. He built the carousel in Central Park. He saved all of that, and he just says whatever he thinks, as Rosemary, I think, indicated. I don't want to be. Said earlier. And, of course, I pointed out all the things that are bad about him, but that didn't matter.
He actually gave a pretty eloquent, for him, response to Ted Cruz's New York Value thing yesterday.
That was
pretty. And New York Daily News, did you see that? Their cover today is it's the Statue of Liberty giving the finger to Ted Cruz because of his comment on New York Value. So that was kind of a pro-Trumpian thing. But he did well on that answer.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
All right. One more letter and we'll go to a break.
Okay. We heard Barbara and Rich touched on political correctness as a philosophy, but political correctness is not the same as cultural awareness or cultural sensitivity. One being PC is based on a false or forced politeness, and the other is based on being painfully aware of our differences and respecting that those differences are okay to exist side by side with one another. And that is from Badalina. One more?
One more.
Okay. Daniel. From Daniel in Harpersfield. Ask Rich how we will ever know when our vetting process for refugees will ever be good enough. Isn't that just code for keeping out refugees we don't want forever? Refugees that are not like us, that don't look like us, or have our religion. Rich.
First of all, our vetting process is never going to be perfect, and that's fine. We're not looking for perfect. I think we're looking to, A, have a process, and, B, I'm wondering about the whole idea of, you know, why are we going out of our way to, and we had this conversation last time about, you know, bringing refugees halfway across the world to bring them here, especially when we don't have a process, that's well in place. I mean, I think everybody on the panel agrees that the real answer to that crisis is would have been to have done something better and more proactive in Syria in the first place.
Except that's no solution. You're
it's not
years
anymore.
Away. It has never been. There has never been a way to solve Syria, or it would have been done already. We've been looking for this. We've said for years, oh, there's no winners here. And there wasn't. Syria is a mess, and it will remain that way. And in the meantime, you have millions of people growing up, trying to have families, trying to have a life. Are they to just be written off because Syria's messed up for now?
No, at all. And
Canada doesn't think that way. They're bringing them halfway around.
And nobody's talking about closing the borders. People are talking about having a process, just a process with some level of dependability. It's not going to be perfect, and that's fine.
Also false. We do have that process. We've had it for many, many years. We've been admitting refugees for more than 100 years. We do have a process. Are there failures with it? Yes, but they even get caught. Even in Germany, the horrible sexual assault thing, those people are going to jail.
And interestingly, and now that those countries, the European countries, are dealing with refugees or immigrants on a level that heretofore only we had been dealing with, right? Now, look what they're doing with their borders. Look what they're doing with their process, right? And we're not pointing fingers at them because we're saying, oh, you know, there's a crisis. We've been dealing with this forever.
Right, and they absolutely are in a much worse spot than we are. Croatia, Hungary, those are countries that are absolutely surrounded on all sides, and people are swarming them. That will never happen in the United States. You can't swarm the United States.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back. We'll continue our conversation. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Albany Pine Bush Preserve, presenting the Capital Region's National Natural Landmark with an interactive visitor center, guided programs, and 20 miles of trails. AlbanyPineBush.org. Davidson Brothers Brewpub, featuring food, ales, entertainment, and more, serving lunch and dinner 7 days a week in downtown Glens Falls, New York. DavidsonBrothers.com. And Capital Region Language Center, offering language classes in Spanish, French, Chinese, Korean, and Latin at our locations, preschools, and private schools. CRLCAlbany.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, Rich Honan, Barbara Smith. I'm Joe Donahue, and we are before the Leadership Tech Valley initiative of the Capital Region Chamber. It's part of their Working with the Media program, and we did this last year. We're thrilled to do it this year. We get to have donuts. It's pretty nice, right?
Donuts?
Right over there. Did you miss the donuts?
And by the way, it's a great program. Because I've known a lot of people who came through the Leadership
My
Tech
wife
Valley
came through that program,
and,
yes.
You know, they're all throughout the business community, throughout the Capital Region. I think it's terrific.
All right. So do you want to go through some more? So here's the point where we have about 7 or 8 minutes of program left. We can go on to a whole other topics, but I feel we should just maybe just stay with what we're doing on the election. Does that sound okay?
It's up to you.
All right. Alan, go ahead.
You're
Keep
the
reading
boss.
The letters and we'll go on.
Okay, Rich. How did Rich Forebears get here? Would he apply the same question of process to them?
Legally. They came here legally. Okay?
Well, mine came Big illegally. Difference. Mine came illegally.
Well, listen. Yeah,
because they were kidnapped here. That's how. Okay. I'm not arguing with you. I just want to make a point.
And you know, as look, nobody in my family, you know, kidnapped anybody or made somebody emigrate or something, but you know, I went to law school, and my one takeaway was there's a difference between legal and illegal, and to have a process and to have laws that are obeyed, which are never perfect. But Rosemary, no, I don't think the answer was, you know, as President Obama did, to basically suspend the immigration laws of the United States. And I actually think you and I would agree. I mean, let me ask you: do you think that you should be able to go from country to country the way we go from state to state, or should there be some level of a process? I mean, when I go to Canada, I have to show my passport.
You know, for 150 years in the United States, we had no immigration laws. We just let people in. We did pretty well. And the history of immigration law in this country is discrimination and exclusion. We didn't like Chinese people. We didn't like Japanese people. We don't like Asian people. So the question is muted from the beginning. Do we need protection on our borders? Yeah, I think that's completely different. Then you're talking about smuggling and coyotes bringing in people and risking their lives. So I'm not opposed to secure borders. But I don't think that's the same thing that that Republicans talk about when they say process.
No, I think there's a difference of degree, but my point is none of us believe there should be fully open borders, and right. None of us believe that it should be a closed system, right? So we're talking, we're all in the same place. I understand there's a big difference as to, you know, the level of regulation, but we're saying there's got to be a process.
Hey, Rich, let's remember why these people are getting in boats, which are leaky, where they lose 7 children and a wife, where things go under. They are completely desperate. So it is a different thing to be talking about the legalisms than it is to, and then what is the American share in all of this? Are we supposed to say, yeah, you take them over there in this place or that place, and we're going to do nothing in this, especially when our president has been so sympathetic to what's going on?
Alan, that was beautiful.
I don't know that I would agree that the president's been sympathetic. I would say that the president has not done anything to change the immigration process. He basically went in, and I won't use the word tantrum again because but then you'd have to talk about
Mitch McConnell.
Yeah,
because you got beat up.
Yeah, right. But he went in and suspended the laws and basically chilled us having any type of any type of efficient discussion on it. So I don't think he's been humane about it. I think the humane way would have been to fix the laws, let lots of people in, which we always do, and by the way, also work on making conditions in their indigenous countries a little bit better.
Rich, fix the laws with this Congress?
You have to start with trying to fix the law. We have this discussion every time. You can't give up on the Constitution and try and do things by executive fiat if for no other reason than it doesn't work. The only way to make it work is to have people buy in, at least at the congressional and the executive level, and then have the people buy in. What of the executive orders has really accomplished any kind of transformative change?
I actually agree with this, and immigration needs to be solved with executive and legislative branch. So that's been going on since the 1970s right now. That's generations of kids and people suffering.
And
in the meantime, the executive fiat has saved, you remember all the kids coming in, unaccompanied minors coming in? That's why he took that action. It was humanitarian.
He was the one who started that flood by inviting people in. Right?
I didn't get that card in the mail. Come on in, one and all. It didn't happen that way, Rich. Alan, sorry.
I have a bias, A.K. and Charles, against Rich that makes me fume when he speaks. However, if Rosemary is always also on the round table, when he is, I can stand it. Actually, I enjoy it because she can refute
almost
antidote. Everything he expresses. That's Kay. Okay. And then Barbara says, just caught a portion of this last conversation, but you're talking about the mass rapes in Germany makes me wonder. Of all the people who are furious at the refugees who did this, and I'll add allegedly because I confess to not knowing much about the incident, how many would blame a one-on-one rape in this country on the woman for wearing skimpy clothes, making suggestive comments or actions, teasing, et cetera? All the excuses that they use to blame rape on the victim and not the assaulter, and that's from Barbara. Ryan says, I support Bernie, and because there is seemingly so much more enthusiasm for him than Hillary, I think he could surprise in caucuses and primaries. I worry, though, that his low profile and popularity in black and Latino communities could lead to a low turnout and a loss in the general election. Alan and Barbara, do you agree? How might he work to get more enthusiastic support from these key constituencies? Barbara, I turn to you.
There is actually a rising, I think, organized effort to get black people more aware of Bernie and his record and what he stands for now. I think I can't remember the name of the former Ohio State Senator Nina. I can't think of her name, but I can see her face. But anyway, she's really very good and really outspoken. She and others are organizing visibly to get that word out about Bernie. Everybody has a right to support who they wish to support. And as I heard her say in an interview, Bernie introduces himself to the black community the same way he does to other voters. It's just to be there and be available. I think that I don't know at this point. I'd like to see the stats.
Rich, I lean to the conservative side, but a Donald Trump presidency scares me. Would you want Trump to be the face we present to the world? Would you want this Neanderthal's finger on the nuclear button?
Well, I agree. You know, I don't. What would Trump do something as crazy as, I don't know, you know, give a nuclear program to Iran with $150 billion to run it with? I don't know if he would do something like that.
Cheap shot.
Would he call a red line in Syria and then walk his way back from it and exacerbate the process?
I don't know.
I don't know if Trump would go quite that far.
No, bullies never think twice about rash actions.
All right, we are out of time, but I hope this group will join me in thanking Rosemary Armeo, Rich Honan, Alan Shartok, and Barbara Smith for being part
and
of
Joe
the program.
Donahue.
Our great thanks to Leadership Tech Valley of the Capital Region Chamber. We're part of their Working with the Media program. We thank you very much. Don't forget the lockbox, WAMC.org. We need your help desperately. We hope to make great strides over the weekend. WAMC.org to help us make the $25,000 challenge from the Spitzer Foundation. And we only have until February 1st to do that. And we will be more than halfway through the drive. So we need your help. WAMC.org. We'll be back after this.